Hey guys, this is Jared. Just wanted to let you know there really wasn't a transition into the after show. We just kind of went, here's the end of the show, here's the after show. Our physical conversation didn't really stop, but I've kind of shoved in the outro at the actual end of the show and the beginning of the not relevant to the show part of our conversation. So be aware, about an hour and a half in, there's going to be kind of this jarring, oh hey, here's this pre-recorded bit where Jared reads the contact information, and then we go right back into the conversation. So I do apologize for that. It kind of is what it is. And yeah, without further ado, here's the show.
The thing that I was talking about, in order to be able to see them with the naked eye, a single atom would have to be the size of our seeable universe. That's how small I'm talking.
Dave, you're so smart.
I watch Science Channel and eat my spinach.
Not really sure what eating spinach has to do with it, but what else? I accept it. Alright, you can go with deer. This is like our thing now, though, guys. Somebody's internet has to fuck up, like, 10 minutes before the show starts.
She's here. So I re-added her to the call.
Well, then I have no explanation.
For what?
Mel's silence? Unless she walked away from her computer to get a snack or something. In the interest of being less irritated. Which I would completely understand. Not sure why that post got put there.
Not sure why that post got put there.
Also that. I wish Stubbs was going to be here so he could judge my shirt. Because he would if he were going to be here.
I'll judge it for you.
Okay. You mean for him?
What are you judging?
Jared's shirt.
Oh, my shirt. Okay. Stubbs would make fun of me.
Oh, okay.
It's not the same shirt that he previously made fun of me about, but it's of the same ilk.
Yay, ilk.
Damn straight. I just included the word ilk in a podcast. What now, bitches?
The Roland Deschain. I'm a little offended that this person used his name.
Fill the rest of us in who do not know who that character is.
He's the lead in The Gunslinger.
Huh.
The quote-unquote hero.
Quote-unquote.
Believe me, it's a necessary quote-unquote.
It's probably about time to start reminding people to rate us on iTunes, huh?
Yeah.
Our last review was May 2nd.
Hmm.
And that was when we got like three... No, no, May 10th, I apologize. Wait. Oh my god, there are more!
There are more...
Oh.
Hello.
That O didn't sound very pleasant, Jared.
Well, one of them is positive. One of them is less than positive.
You guys suck.
Well, basically, I'm not going to spoil it because I want everyone else's reactions to be pure. But essentially, they hate everything about our show.
Oh.
Which, well, fuck 'em. You know, that's all well and good. They can find professional podcasts. We've never complained about being professional. Actually, I think I have, but feedback. iTunes, why you no support? Or, oh, because you sort by most iTunes, you need to sort by most recent. So when I look at this, I don't find a review that's a month and a half old and another review that's 2 weeks old. Anyway. That's right. iTunes is a bitch and actually makes me type these.
Yeah, that rhymed. I want a century at every entry.
Wow, okay. Moving on.
Fuck all of you, even though it's just Jeremy. Because I know the rest of you were thinking it.
That's right, bro, Chacho. I ain't even going to let you get to your control panel.
Don't we say this right in the, Never mind. I'm not going to comment on this until we get to it in the show.
Okay.
This iTunes review. I'm not going to call them names, because not every podcast is for everyone. I am, however, going to call them out on a couple of things.
All right.
Is this up in you? No, not quite. What a wonderful time to go to FeedBurner and remind myself that there are at least dozens of people that like my podcast. Thank you, FeedBurner, for reminding me that there are at least dozens of people that like my podcast.
Yay!
Oh shit, and then I was so annoyed after typing those iTunes reviews that I closed iTunes. It's like I need to play bumpers or something. And it's my vehicle for doing so.
What are bumpers? I feel so vulnerable.
You should.
That's a lot of red in that room. That's right, you can't bust through my dome. Love Sanctuary, it's such an awesome spell. I wish it wasn't on 120-second cooldown.
You're a dome.
I have a dome. There's a brain in it. And I even pretend I can use it.
I should just stop. Because everything I say is getting turned around on me right now.
She's laughing at a television show.
I know. But thank you. Thank you for confirming that I know. Good evening, Agilos.
God, I hate Mark II golems.
But they spin around and they knock you around and do lots of damage.
Yeah, but they spin around and knock you back 15 times. Why wouldn't you like them?
Well, mostly because I'm a mesmer and I'll just cast confusion on them and then they'll do lots of damage to themselves. It's really a simple formula.
Oh geez, I'm gonna die.
Number one. That would have been right. Oh, good news, Agilos. I finally I found your iTunes review. So we're going to read that tonight.
Is it the one that called us bad names?
No, of course. Hated us? Because I'm apparently bad at iTunes and I'm not smart enough to realize that it doesn't sort by date by default. Who knew? Jeremy, are you done with whatever it is you were doing so we can do a podcast?
I'm not really sure, honestly.
That is not the answer I was looking for.
Apparently I have 3 checkpoints left.
Which means we're going to have about 20% of Jeremy's attention for the first 10 minutes of the show.
Hey, as long as I get a little bit of participation in these, 10 events that are going on around the Infinity Coil. Ow. Stupid Mark II column.
Speaking of events and ore, have they fixed the Temple of Lysa yet? I'm going to keep
you
calling
mean
her
Lissa?
Yes, I do mean Lissa, but I'm going to keep saying Lysa because it's apparently stuck in my head that that Y is an I sound instead of a I sound.
How sad for you.
Yes.
Yeah, see, you called it by such an awful name that I actually forgot what you asked.
Is the meta event there still broken?
I don't know. I'm pretty much avoiding ore until I see the patch saying that everything there is fixed.
Okay. Because I know I checked last night and it was broken. Anyway. The clock says it's time to do a podcast, so let's do a podcast.
Indeed.
Sentence of Ascalon is an explicit rated podcast. We let words like shit, fuck, and son of a bitch cross our lips, and we're professionals at last-minute intros. It's Tuesday, September 18th, 2012, at 7 p.m. Central Time, and this is episode 21 of Ascendants of Ascalon. Good evening and welcome to the Ascendants of Ascalon podcast, a group of four friends gathered to talk about Guild Wars 2 and the various ways that you can be better by being more knowledgeable about the game. Don't forget, though, to have fun and not take yourself too seriously, especially when listening to us. First, I know all the ways you can succeed at Vistas. It's Mel. I don't know.
I'm good, and I really hate Vistas. Really hate Vistas, and they can suck it a lot.
Yeah, this is I didn't have a lot to work with this week, mostly because I was fighting with program code when I wrote these intros. So I apologize in advance if they're not their usual slightly below average level of humor.
It's quite all right. I just want everyone to be aware that I know all the really good curse words that you can yell at your Vistas.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. Next, I know all the ways you can cook, it's Jeremy.
Oh, God, cooking. Although I agree with Mel on her assessment of Vistas.
Yep.
But my cooking is 400, so, you know, and we discovered a use for Om Nom berries that Dave enjoys. I'll let Dave tell you about that.
Okay. Speaking of Dave, he knows all the ways you can kill all the things. How you doing, Dave?
Doing good. What was I supposed to tell everyone? Something that we got pawned off on
something
me?
Something about Om-Nom berries.
Oh! Think of a food that's 66% chance on crit to lifesteal.
That's pretty decent.
Yeah, it's pretty good survivability.
My wife is calling me right now, and I'm not going to answer because I'm doing a podcast.
Oh, shit.
Finally, I know all the ways you can confuse your enemies. I'm Jared.
And
she knows I do a podcast at 7 o'clock on Tuesday nights, so why didn't she call me like 10 minutes ago? I could have answered them. But I am professional, damn it. More on that later. Moving right along. Dave, what else did you do this week besides eat Om Nom berries?
I don't think he's eaten Om Nom berries yet, have you?
Yeah, I've already eaten all of them.
Oh.
I don't know what I've done. I went to the recruiters and had a little meeting. It wasn't a depth meeting. It was just a pop quiz type deal, so... Mm.
Did
that.
Pass?
Yes, I passed.
Did you do lots of 8-part bodybuilder thingies?
No. It wasn't a physical, it was a mental. Okay. They were making sure that we were reading our books to know rank and terms and things like that. So I was there for about 2 hours, chilling. Started working on a ranger, so that's been fun. Shortbow's ridiculous. American Chopper Senior versus Junior came on. I don't know when it came on, but I've started watching that again because it's the new season. So I've got something to fill the hole in my heart that Sci-Fi took whenever they took Eureka off the air.
Oh, Dave.
Yeah. That's it.
All right.
Okay.
Let's see. Who shall go next? Mel, you shall go next.
You're just going in order. That's not even fair. I'm watching you go in order.
You have the show notes open, just like a professional podcaster. These jokes are going to keep on coming, by the way.
Pretty much. I can edit these show notes and make them awesome. No? Okay. What did I do this week? I painted my little heart's desire. I painted the ceiling, actually, with a roller, which means I got all speckle painted all over my face and the top of my shirt and the top of my toes. And then I went over to the grocery store, and this lady's like, oh, are you painting? No. No, lady. It's a fashion statement. I like it. I don't know. Do you know how hard I worked to make myself look all speckle painted?
Very hard.
I did not say this, of course, but thank you. It was a lot of effort, actually, and my arm really hurts, and I have a weird, like, blister thing, which might mean that I'm out of shape, but I'm not really sure how you get into shape for not getting blisters, but that's not... Oh! Starting yoga. Shut up, babe.
Draw your own conclusions there, friends.
Yep, my yoga mat came today, and I put it out of my little room, and it's all awesome, and got my bed out of my living room finally, so actually it feels like I'm living in a house instead of a giant warehouse.
Yay.
Yeah, so all good things.
Alright.
What about the thing you got in your window?
What's the thing? What window? What?
That you tried to showcase, but it was too bright.
Oh, I put up my mini blinds yesterday, and I tried to show Dave in my webcam, and I'm like, ta-da, and I whipped open the curtain in a big, glorious display, and all you can see is sunshine. I'm like, well, fuck.
This is a great idea. Curse you, sun!
But I tried, okay? It was the effort that counts. Yes, I was busy, so you could have shit.
Shit was done.
Jeremy had enchiladas, and yeah, it was good.
Jeremy. Oh, let's see. I got sick, Zoe got sick, Kate is now sick. oh, you know, I was sick on the last podcast, so I remained sick. Let's see. What else did I do? I played a decent amount of Guild Wars, and I actually worked some pretty long hours because I had to ask for a lot of days off for this week. So kudos to my AM1 for being able to get me over 30 hours this week with me asking for 4 days off. it demanded that I have to, do a couple of short shifts on a couple of the days that I asked for off, but that's okay. She asked before she scheduled those. Just been full clearing, high level zones to try to get exotics, to try to get ectos, which apparently hate me, because Dave needs ectos to make me armor, and they are not dropping off of the gear that I'm sending him to salvage.
I also need ectos to make you jewelry.
Indeed. But since I need the said ectos are not dropping off of said armor. Anyway, yeah, that's pretty much what I've been doing.
Alright. Me. Let's see. School. Some more schoolwork. Let me lay this out for you. This weekend I did homework. I went golfing with my mom. Went to Kristen's debut opera performance. Did some more homework. And, yeah. You may notice a distinct lack of something in that equation, and that was Guild Wars, or really any gaming of any sort. I played Friday night for a few hours with everyone, lamented the fact that everyone that I don't see very often was on Thursday night while I was doing homework. Yeah. Stubbs, I miss you! Mostly wow. Because you'd be making fun of my shirt right now, I think. So, yeah.
That solid stripe.
How long have you had that shirt?
I've had this shirt for too long.
I
Yeah.
I think I agree.
Probably. It's a little small. If I lost the 30 pounds I need to lose, it'd be helpful, but...
No, I think I recall this from college. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, no, it definitely existed then. I probably had it since I was like a senior in high school, to be honest.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, dear.
That's the problem with not having any money to buy clothes, ever.
I'm familiar with this concept.
You tend to wear things longer than you should. Anyway, enough about me and my boring-ass non-gaming related week. Although, it did cap off this afternoon quite well, because I picked up the new Humble Indie Bundle. So I have some grind-breaking...
That rhymed.
I have some grind-breaking games now that I picked up for $15. So not only was I above the average, but I was not a jerk, Internet. You may not lynch me.
And let's clarify here. He didn't get to play Guild Wars for 3 days, so he bought other games. The game hasn't been out for a month, and he's already cheating on it.
See, I don't think of it as cheating because I'm not married to Guild Wars 2.
You should be.
but you're dating Guild Wars 2. And I'm pretty sure it's still cheating.
No. I disagree, and we will continue to disagree on the subject.
Your disagreement, sir, is noted, but apparently invalid.
Pretty much.
It's noted. That's the important thing. Let's talk about some news.
Alright.
So first off, another reminder, it's not going to be a show on October 2nd, because Dave and Mel will be doing Dave and Mel things at Dave's house, and...
Who did that?
That was Jared.
No one?
Early show. I'm not afraid to throw you under the bus on that one, homie.
I would have claimed it eventually, come on now.
And I will be doing nice things for Kristen's birthday.
Thank you.
I'm like, come on. So the first thing on our agenda to talk about tonight is actually the patch notes from yesterday, primarily bug fixes, a lot of personal story fixes. The one major thing I wanted to talk about, besides kind of minor balance changes to the Mesmer, Thief, Warrior, and Engineer, was that now discovery crafting can be done directly from your bank.
Yay!
Oh, I saw that this morning, and I was like, oh, Annette, I want to make sweet love to you.
Well, and then I saw it, and I'm like, what is all this shit in my discovery pain?
I was going to say, this is for a good discussion then, because half of us don't like it, and half of us are excited about it. So I pretty much had the same reaction Dave did. I'm like, oh my god, all of this stuff.
Yay!
The one positive thing is... it does grant priority to things that are actually in your bags. So if you've crafted, you know, a focus core, a focus handle, and an inscription to make a focus, all that shit's going to be right up there, top left, and you're going to be able to just go bam, 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 like you've probably been doing already. So, I mean, that was kind of a softening of the blow for me. That at least things in my bag are prioritized. I don't know.
I don't know what you guys don't like about this.
Me either. I mean, because it annoyed like, Go ahead, Dave.
I don't like that the entire pain that it gives is full. Hmm. Like, the way I was doing weaponsmithing, I had to craft so many things and then drop inscriptions on all of them that it took about half the slots I had to begin with. Now I can't do that. I have to craft little bits at a time, and it's more tedious and more of an asshole to just craft those little bits. I'd much rather just take the shit out of my bank that I want for discovery than
yeah.
Okay, well, I can see where that would be annoying. But, like, for cooking, let me tell you, huge pain in the ass to... Because 90% of what I make, I have to keep. And I can't keep in my bank anyway. They're in my, you know what I mean, collectibles anyway.
And, oops, sorry.
So, you know, having to go in, pull out this, this, and this, make it into something, then put it back, and then pull out this, this, and this. Because, I mean, I got to tell you, I use, in one cooking session, I might use 10 different ingredients. And that'd be for, like, 3 different things. And it was really annoying to me, so when I saw that, I was like, oh, this is cool.
Well, I guess here would be my counter to that. When you're I'm as you clearly know from listening to last week's show, everyone here loved crafting from the bank. However, with discovering, you're only going to be discovering a recipe once.
True.
Right.
And if say you just hit 300 cooking for the sake of argument, you can say, okay, I've got all these 300-level cooking materials. Let me go bang, 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 withdraw all these and play with the discovery pane. Or if you've got a guide, you can pull out exactly what your guide says you need and discover it and then chuck it all back in your bank and then craft to your heart's content.
But here's my counter to that. With cooking, I don't know how it was with the other ones, but with cooking, just to use an example, I made something at level 75 that I had to use in a level 375 recipe. Mm. And that was the first time it was useful.
Hmm. Well, then, overall argument. It seems to only be beneficial to cooking.
Okay.
And I will say artificing to a degree as well, because I know I use some very low-level mats, even in high-level potion making.
So are you telling me that you would maybe, like, a filter?
Yes.
To only show levels so-and-so to so-and-so? Ranges, I guess? Will it show you items... I haven't been in game today. Will it show you items that you can't use yet?
Yeah, it shows everything in your bank.
Well, no, it doesn't show you everything. It shows you everything that you can use to discover with that particular profession.
But that's every fine crafting material, every regular crafting material, every wood, every ore.
That may be the case with armor smithing, weapon smithing, but it's not, say, the case for jewel crafting, for example. That's going to be kind of one that's on a profession by profession basis, how many things are dumped in your discovery pane. And also, once you've exhausted an item's ability to discover new things, they take it out.
So it needs some tweaking, is what you're saying.
I would agree.
What I'd like is a check mark that I want it to happen. Like, I want a little check in the options. Mm-hmm. Do you want everything from your bank to be shown in discovery? No, I do not fucking want everything to be shown in my discovery panel.
Or even,
because there's so many items that I'm intentionally not crafting because I don't need them to level. No one uses them. So there's no reason for me to have those items out and to discover them. So those items are always going to be shown in the discovery panel.
Right. Or even just something, similar to how they did the filtering for crafting. Because once you get to like 300... there is pages upon pages of shit that you have to scroll through to find, like, your basic component stuff. Give me a check mark that a check mark with each tier of crafting materials, and then just a show all or don't show all, or hide all, I guess would be the way to put it, box as well. For folks like Dave that are like, no, I don't want to see anything. They can just one click and they're done.
Too bad Arena doesn't actually listen to our podcast.
Well, and I'm sure other people have these comments on the forums, so eventually they'll hear about it, and I'm sure they'll try to make it in a way that makes everybody at least somewhat happy. That's what they've been doing anyway.
By the way, I'm trying. Guild Wars Insider is doing or has been tweeting about possibly doing a podcast roundup every week on their site, and I know their ArenaNet devs go to that site. So, It's a I still haven't seen the podcast roundup post. Otherwise, believe me, I'd be pimping the shit out of it. Anything else on the Discovery pane?
I have a question about this article in general.
Mm-hmm.
It says fix bugs in the exploration achievement so players can now receive 100% map completion. Didn't someone already get 100% map completion?
Yes.
So...
I would assume it's kind of the main wave of players are approaching 100% map completion, and they're encountering... I mean, half of ore is in has been in various states of broken.
Yeah, right. That's for sure. It took me 4 days to get my last two skill points in Cursed Shore because the spectral weapon skill points were bugged.
Okay.
For instance.
Yeah, so
but I know of the three zones, Melkor's Leap is the worst bugged out of all of them, because about half that zone is bugged as of today.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Overall, wouldn't you like to... This is kind of a sidestep from what we're doing, but wouldn't you like to see more in-depth, like, fix various broken events and skill challenges? Is it really difficult to list?
Yeah, I would like to see the names. I mean, because they do it with the personal story bug fixes. Mm-hmm. Why not do it with the dynamic? I mean, unless there's like 100 events and things that they're doing and it's
maybe
not really...
And in which case really, they could.
Yeah.
Or at least say all which the events zone? In the X zone have been fixed.
Yeah, and that would be a good way to do it. You know, break it down like
that. That's assuming that's how they go about fixing. I mean, they might go based on priority,
said they're fixing the areas that have the highest population.
Which should be the Orion zones,
it's
right
actually
now.
Not. It's the 50 to 70 zones.
Yeah, woot! That's me. Suck it, 80s. I'm more broken than you are, suck it.
But a male, you don't have your tune doesn't have much to suck on.
That is true. Well, I'm a plant. Come on.
I suppose I could pull a leaf off or something. You know. Okay, moving on.
Yeah, I've got a log. Yeah. I'm a male savoir.
Let's talk about the economy some more. John Smith provided us with an update sort
of name
on the Guild Wars 2 economy. In the chat room and in the show notes will be a link to the overall post. The one thing I remember when Dave and I were looking at this last week when it came out, the one thing that kind of confused us was his happy little chart. It's like, can we get a legend here, bro? So we know what the F... Actually, really, it's just this bar chart here at the bottom. I'm going to flip over to...
The race...
This bar chart right here, you're looking on this if you're here live, the race bar chart. We're like, okay, we can reason out 3 out of 5 of these, but we're really not sure
three
what
out of
these...
3 out of 5 or 3 out of 4?
3 out of 5.
There's only 4 charts there.
No. 3 out of 5 bars on the race chart.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, I should have been more clear there. But we don't know if the tree is Silvari or if the forest is Silvari. So, yeah.
Wait, what? Where do you see a forest?
The big, tall, green bar?
It looks kind of like a forest.
How do you guys determine this is a forest?
It looks like a bunch of trees.
It does.
That is not a forest.
Well, then what is
it? If anything, it looks like Batman. Oh, I'm just saying, it's open for interpretation. The Silvari is the tree. Come on, people. Pale tree, tree. And I'm going to go Bear is the Norn.
Bear is the Norn. The little wheel thingy we determined was the char, wasn't
Cog
it?
Cog is the char. The QB thing is the Acer. But you still can't tell.
No. It's not. This is us using logic and stuff. And it could be wrong logic. It could be.
The point is, the man needs to do a legend. I know in third grade, if I made a graph and I didn't put a legend there, I failed that damn paper.
Or even an X and Y axis. I mean, this is a very poorly designed graph. It has a title.
It does. Yay. But the, yeah, it's not.
Yeah, and overall, I mean, what are you guys' impression of this kind of the state of the economy as we're almost a month in now?
It seems to be doing what it's supposed to be doing.
It's catching up. At the beginning, it was completely whacked when everyone had no money, but now you're starting to see things going up there for... What's the highest priced item on the trading post these days?
85 gold for one of the legendary item precursors, legendary weapon precursors. I can double check that right now, as a matter of fact.
You know, a couple days into game, when once the trading post stabilized, I guess, you know, if you saw something for a gold on there, whoa.
It was like, whoa, somebody thinks somebody else has money.
My roller! Yeah. It's catching up, which we all knew it would, so.
Yeah.
I think it's in a rather interesting state that I can sell a level 400 crafting mat for 20 copper and a level nothing crafting mat for, like, 3 silver.
Yeah.
that's a bit retarded.
Today, I was finishing off my artificing. I was getting large bones for a silver apiece, and they were on the low end of the fine crafting materials. I got to 400 and bought all the ancient bones I was going to need to make my inscriptions for my exotic staff and scepter, and paid like 20 copper apiece for those level 400, the 7, I guess they are.
Crafting. It makes me sad, too, yeah, because, like, the elder wood logs, way more expensive than the ancient wood logs. And you never see the dang gathering nodes for the ancient wood logs.
Yeah, really, the only of those 400-level mats I've really seen have a somewhat on-par cost is Orichalcum.
And Gossamer. Mm-hmm.
I haven't.
That rare moss is expensive as hell.
Yeah, and I know, and part of it I'm sure is because, I mean, just in my exploration of ore, you actually do see an Orichalcum node every now and then. So
yeah,
there's more going into the market and allowing the market to kind of fluctuate naturally.
True.
So hopefully that will become the case with the other stuff soon.
But to give you a quick idea, Orichalcum ore is 2 silver, 77 copper apiece, and a gossamer scrap, a single scrap, is 4 silver, 95 copper apiece.
Just to complete this thought, how much is an ancient wood log?
Okay, ancient...
Just over a silver. As of earlier today.
1 silver, 14 copper, and there is only 31 of them available on the trading
list.
I have 80-something of them.
Maybe it's because I just updated.
I had 87, like, probably more in there.
No, I mean in my collection, Dave.
Oh, I'm talking about on the trading post, there's only that number available.
Well, and part of that, I'm sure, could be that just people are using them instead of selling them. I mean,
that's true. They're collecting them and then taking them to a crafter to craft their exotics.
Yeah. Because we're still at that phase of the game where the majority of the max level population is still working on getting themselves to a point where they're happy with their gear, whether it be at the exotic level or even at the rare level, for that matter.
Well, that's one thing that's a bit... If I've seen people in full rare gear that just... They can't stand up to the damage in a dungeon. They can't do it in rare gear. Even though the stats difference are that minimal... It seems to make a very large difference.
Interesting.
And when we get to our discussion, I'll talk a little bit more in depth.
Right.
While we're discussing the economy, is this a good time to bash on the UI of the trading post? Because I really hate it.
This would be the place to do so.
I really hate it.
Yeah.
I don't much care for it either, personally.
Now, it's got some
great ideas.
The buying UI, the selling UI, what, or is it just the whole thing? You're like, fuck it, throw it out, redo it.
Well, half of it you can't read. UI.
Yeah, I have trouble reading it. Like, the price per unit column in the selling, and...
I mean, when I look at it, it looks like I'm trying to read hieroglyphs.
Yeah, same here.
Yes, I don't have that problem, so...
I don't have that problem either.
Well, yeah, I will take a screenshot and send it to Jared so that he can get an idea of what I'm seeing.
Well, I wish Melissa had a screenshot to look at.
I'm going to send it to everyone, but...
You said Jared.
Well, but I'm going to be the one that's going to put it on the stream, I think, is what Dave's getting at.
Yeah.
And we wait.
Yeah.
While we wait, I do have one pretty major gripe with the Trading Post UI as a whole, and it's when you're looking at things to price them, like if you're... Well, here, I'll show you. I was doing some math earlier to see if I could make a profit just flipping Orichalcumore. Well, what I forgot to take into account is that the 13 silver, 10 copper, or whatever I was seeing at on the Trading Post, just on the search page, was the lowest sell price and not the highest buy order. So if I wanted to get my money right away, I'd have to take the highest buy order, which was like 9 silver, and about a 2 silver loss altogether for me.
Yeah.
So I think they should definitely maybe add another column, like sell orders, 13, blah, blah, blah. Buy orders, 9, blah, blah, blah.
Dave, I would like to point out that I do not have this problem.
Hmm.
I wonder why that is.
I haven't even seen the picture, and I can tell you that I have a lot of trouble reading stuff on the Trading Post. It might be my resolution, but I mean, I changed my resolution.
Yeah, I've tried changing my resolution, and it does not change it. In fact, it gets worse if I don't use my monitor's native resolution.
Right. I mean, I lowered mine so that everything else is bigger, and I can read text just fine, but I still open up the Trading Post and see bleh.
Yeah, and the Trading Post is the only place that it happens. Oh, cool.
I guess that's something, but that's weird that it would happen for some and not for others.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so there it is on the stream. Now I'm actually going to look at it in a decent resolution. My God, that is awful.
Yeah, right?
I can see where you would be frustrated.
I agree.
That's pretty much what I've been seeing.
And, like, whenever I first started the game and I had access to the Trading Post, whenever you're on an individual order, the text gets worse. So it was like I was looking at it in a different language and trying to figure out the UI, and that's why I got so pissed with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's because I couldn't fucking read it. There was no way to figure it out or decipher it.
So has that issue been corrected? Can you at least know? So it's still...
I've just gotten to the point that I have to trust the numbers I'm putting in, and the only number I can see clearly is when I'm buying something, I can see how much it costs. But as to the name of it, I'm going by picture.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, I haven't been screwed yet, but as soon as they put something in the game that shares the image icon,
right,
if it becomes public knowledge, people are going to start getting fucked.
Yeah.
Especially if it's a common issue.
That's right. You could just, you know, do a lot of mining and then mail it to the wrong person.
Poor Mel.
Yeah, that autofill feature is terrible. I didn't like it to begin with, but now that something's actually happened like that, it's vindicating.
Yeah, it would be better if it used more like a Google autocomplete type thing where it's like type, 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 and then it gives you a drop down so you can look at what you're clicking before. Basically, so it forces you to look at what you're clicking instead of just assuming, hey, this is the same name I type in every time I get to the third letter and it's the same person every time.
I just can't imagine why in God's green earth they think that because I was happened to be standing next to somebody or just flew past them in a zone that I would like to mail something to them. Why?
Yeah, that happens to me all the time, so I always double check whether or not the field is blank or not.
I mean, normally I do. Like I said, but that just pisses me off. I mean, the people that it gives you as potential autofill
should only be friends list, guild list.
Yeah, friends list, guild list.
Apparently retarded. Or someone I've mailed to before.
Yeah.
I could understand that. But this, like, hey, I happened to be standing next to you when I was crafting 6 days ago. What? Go yeah, away.
That's definitely something that needs to be looked at as well.
Yeah.
I know we've gotten off topic. My apologies.
Well, it's all topic of the economy.
I don't think so, because that has to do with the economy. I mean, what if you were trying to mail that to somebody that wanted to direct buy it to you, from you? You just lost money because you sent it to the wrong person.
Yeah, that's so true. You not only lost money, you lost everything.
Yeah. You lost the money, you lost the mats, you basically got bent over and taken to the cleaners.
And then there are these things, I'm guessing they're called honest people. I don't know where they are, but apparently whoever I mailed my ore and my full venom sacks and my wood to is not one of those people.
He's like, oh, look, a nice person.
There's a return to sender button and you can just, hey.
This is not me.
I guess few and far between, so.
But it's okay because pandas come out next week and then all the WoW players will go away.
Yeah, and I'll still be mailing shit to them. It's okay. But now they just won't log on for 8 years before they finally realize that I've sent them ore. I didn't mean to send them. I'm mad. Next topic.
So,
I know, right?
Mike Z put out a post last Thursday talking about, kind of refreshing everybody's memory about Guild Wars 2's endgame design philosophy. Basically just coming out and saying, remember, this isn't WoW. We aren't going to be going to raids twice a week from 8 to midnight. You know, there's different flavors of endgame depending on what you want to do. You can go to explorable mode dungeons, or you can play with the Mystic Forge, or you can go into World v. World, you can go to structure PvP. You can 100% complete the world.
Craft legendary weapons, that's an in-game experience in and of itself.
No shit. Get them purples to make into reds.
Yeah.
Now Dave introduced me to Claw of Jormag today, and the vendor that spawns after you kill him has a purple item that says, used in crafting legendary weapons.
Yep.
Ooh. I'm only so level 50, I don't know what this is.
So you turn purples into reds. Purples and oranges.
Yeah. I was going to say, I don't know what a red piece of gear is. Broken?
Red is legendary. Red's title is legendary.
Or broken.
No. Broken is a red shield on the item.
Yeah.
Still red. Still valid.
And Mel just played the I win card.
Well, I was right. Okay. That helps.
Another positive thing that happened last week, Guild Wars 2 officially reached 2 million copies sold. So that was exciting for ArenaNet to know that more than just the million people that signed up for beta access 8 months ago have bought the game now.
Wanted their game. Yay, referrals.
Yay, referrals. Colin Johansson, go ahead.
Before we move, is there a refer a friend benefit system yet? No?
Doubt it.
Nope. So, Colin Johansson.
Chat of the little Siren. He's adorable. I'm sorry, dude.
I'm trying really hard to move on here. It was kind of a quick thing. Yay, 2 million copies sold. Colin Johansson also took to the forums this week to make a statement about what to expect for future content updates. There was... The main thing I took out of this was, yay, free content updates.
That's what I see, too.
Indeed. Although he did also drop the E word.
Well, of course.
Expansions.
There's going to be expansions. I would be disappointed if...
Which, the reason I bring that up is that so people don't think, oh, everything from here
to the end of the world is going to be
free. No, there will be story expansions where you'll have to buy the expansion, I'm sure, so that you can play that content. But, I mean, come on, It's going to be worth it, guys. Yeah. Everything else is going to be free, though.
Well, especially considering, you know, the following quote. Our goal is to make it so you get more from Guild Wars 2 for free than you get from a game you pay a subscription for, and possibly also a prescription, but that's up to your own personal choice. Because Colin Johansson didn't actually say prescription. I did.
So I wonder how they're going to swing that, then. Obviously, a new expansion is going to be one of the other continents.
Of course.
Yep.
That's to be expected. So I wonder how many chapters in the story we're going to have. Like, we've had the Zaitan chapter. They've already told us we're going to deal with the Mersaat. So mm-hmm. I'm assuming there's going to be a White Mantle Mersaat chapter.
And presumably beings that Jormag is also on Tyria.
And Primordius.
The Tyrian continent, yeah. I mean, there's two more Elder Dragons right in our back door. That could theoretically be dealt with for free. Without the addition of an expansion. I don't know.
It's interesting hope so.
To think about.
Yeah. But, for right now, it's all speculation. So, there's no set in stone.
Right. We can just keep an eye on it and say, okay, let's see what happens.
Come on now, we had like our first 14 podcasts on purely speculation.
Well, that's because the game hadn't been released yet. Now that it has been...
Oh, now we're going to play it safe.
We can limit our speculation since there's news! Like John Peters Yay! Taking the forums and talking about skill balancing and how they're not really too fussed about it right now, quite frankly. I mean, they're... Basically, what I got out of this is they aren't going to make any knee-jerk reactions right now when people are still learning how to play the game. And they're going to maybe more worry about it a month or two down the line when they have a lot more hard data to analyze.
You know, that to me, that makes sense. Because, you know, they want to wait to see what happens. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
To a certain extent, you're not playing an engineer at level 60 doing 75 damage with her auto attack.
That is pretty fucked up.
Hey, when I walked into the level 70 to 75 zone, I was still doing like 100 damage with my auto attack. So
that is more than my 60.
You're built for support, and she's built for DPS, and she's.
I'm building a crit damage build, and I hit for 70, 75. I crit for 110. What's the weapon? What's the point of having weapon damage if I hit crit for 110? I don't even do my weapon damage.
Yeah, okay. That's pretty stupid. Yeah. Her pistol has, 450 damage average on it?
Yep, I'd say so.
And it does not add to her one skill?
Hmm.
Yeah, that doesn't really make any
that
sense.
That sounds like a bug to me.
Well, it's no, because a lot of the forum posts on the engineer are talking about it, and... No one seems to think it's a bug.
Hmm.
And also, no one seems to care.
That's so true. And obviously, as you said, they're not getting too fussed about it, so I guess we just live with it.
And
I just live with it, rather.
Honestly, so far as underpowered or overpowered whining on the forums, the only thing I have seen that is truly overpowered in this game is the Guardian. No offense, Agilos. It's overpowered. It's overpowered as fuck when a single guardian can charge to run a group through explorable Arrah and solo it, letting you stand at the door.
I'd love to know how to do that.
I wish I still had the guy's name, but he was advertising for it outside of Arrah like the first week I was 80.
Let's not forget about the Guardians fixing the game for Aenet.
Well, they've unfixed the Guardians fixing skills.
In other news, Agilos would like you to quit telling ArenaNet that his class is overpowered. And Heart 2.
Actually, what he really wants
saw the heart.
To die in a fire.
However, I'm not telling them to nerf the Guardian. Let's keep that straight. I'm telling them to bring them to a more focused point on what they want the Guardian to do. Because right now, it does everything better than everyone else.
That's true. That being said, it's still, sorry, Mel. It's still possible for there to be a bad guardian.
That's true.
It's not just a role of guardian.
A lot of them are.
What were you going to say, Mel?
I just live vicariously through my level 30 elementalist scepter dagger, and I just do a craft ton of bleeding earth damage, and that seems to fill the void in my heart for my engineer.
Heart!
For my engineer's poor damage output.
It's okay.
Someday.
Little lady, someday.
Also, Jared, what's going on with the feed here?
What do you mean?
They add ads to Twitch TV?
They sure did.
That makes me so sad.
Speaking of that, Twitch, I'd like a cut of that ad revenue. Thanks.
Wouldn't that be nice?
And now, then we'd have to get a fourth of your profits. Well, so
that's fine. It'd probably be like a nickel for every ad served, and they probably serve like two ads during our show. So,
hey, that's two I've seen so far.
Anyway, let's listen to a bumper.
Get back on target.
Bumper. So our discussion topic this week is simply the dungeons. What's been your experience with them? What do you like about them? What do you hate about them? Should your friends be doing them with you? That sort of thing. We do have a... Go ahead.
I've enjoyed every dungeon I've gone into so far, but I must say I was a little sad that... Ascalonian Catacombs seemed a lot more difficult than Arrah seemed to be. At least story mode to story mode there. I was a tad disappointed that it wasn't all that difficult, but at the same time, apparently Zaitan was not supposed to just be sitting there getting hit by cannon fire.
Well, they haven't clarified that yet, but they've locked every form post saying Zaitan is a pushover and all that.
They've also noted that the five loot bag that you get when you complete your personal story also should not be rewarding green level 30 items.
Does that mean everyone that's already gotten is going to get another one?
That's a great question. I hope so, but it's...
Because I didn't even get any level 30 items out of it. I get a couple low level, like level 75 crafting materials, and a couple 10 to 15. I'm actually using one of the 10 to 15 items on my ranger right now.
That is just sad.
Does that mean I can flex for taking my sweet time getting to 80?
Yeah.
It happened naturally. I didn't grind it out. It just happened.
It's true. Same for
I'm
me.
I'm still flexing, it's alright.
It's just that we had more time to play.
But dungeons.
Well, let's briefly touch on the difficulty. Agilo says they need to be harder.
Is he talking about story or explorable?
That's a good question. Because I know I've only experienced story mode, and while chaotic, it isn't really that difficult.
No, if you're paying attention, doing what you need to be doing, it really isn't that difficult. I'd have to agree that, you know, at least, maybe not all of them, but a couple of them definitely need to be harder.
And explorable mode, AC specifically, he mentions, is quite easy. The thing of it is, though, I've got an article here from Massively that I put in the show notes from my tablet, so it's the mobile site. So you'll have to apologize I apologize for that. But Colin Johansson is responding to... Apparently there's more feedback that it's too hard than it's too easy. And that seems, I guess, inconsistent with what I've heard anyway.
All the story modes, with the exception of Sorrow's Embrace, has been a fairly leisure stroll. Except for my first run or two through Ascalon Catacombs.
Say, Dave, which dungeon was that that you sent me the screenshot of where there was like...
Sorrow's Embrace. 30,
okay, that's what that was with the 30 enemies to your 5 enemies?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that looked a little ridiculous.
Yeah.
I still have that screenshot.
Yeah, I mean, overall, I really want to get into explorable mode.
Me too.
But I just haven't had the time to, obviously, because I spent half of my intro bitching about it. But yeah, I mean, like I said, my overall impression was simply chaotic, but if your group could manage the chaos, it was manageable. It was just a matter of, you know, putting your head down and just knocking it out.
Yeah, and
headbutting.
Most of the stories are somewhat chaotic. Explorable is a lot more structured, however. To the point that you can speed clear one of the dungeons. They call it on speed clear. Could, yes, could. You cannot anymore.
I guess this is the appropriate time to mention our last little bit of news. John Peters took to the forums today and first explained dungeon changes and then further clarified them. Basically... they made changes to explorable mode so that if you do the explorable mode dungeon the exact same twice in a row, you'll have your rewards cut. You can bounce back and forth between two different chains, even in the same dungeon, and as long as you don't aren't completing both chains faster than an hour, your rewards won't degrade. But if you start speed clearing at a rate of faster than two chains per hour, then your rewards are going to start to slow down.
So those of you that can do two different runs in under an hour,
which
make
I can
it
tell you,
1 hour and 1 minute.
Which I can tell you is actually impossible.
Or just take a 5 minute coffee break in between runs.
In any case, Dave is saying it is impossible.
The last little bit here that they changed, they also reduced the value of repeating story mode. Basically is an encouragement to get people that have completed story mode into explorable mode, where ArenaNet kind of wants you to naturally progress to.
We should do an explorable mode tonight.
Should.
That's possible. We could do what? AC or CM on the other.
We could do Twilight Arbor explorable.
No, we couldn't. I haven't done story mode.
Well, I didn't do story mode Crystal of Eternity, but I did explorable, so I don't know if it's a bug or not, but yeah.
I like Twilight Arbor.
Their law is not an effect on that.
Oh, shit! Oh, don't mind me cursing, I just fell off a little.
Yeah, that's right. We are so professional that Jeremy is playing.
Hey, I'm only running around. I'm not like
more on that after we finish the discussion topic.
I'm a professional.
We're all professional. So I just snuck ahead to the iTunes reviews. Anyway, well,
what are your thoughts on the dungeons?
Well, see, I've only done three of them, so but minus the fact that I got completely picked on in Caudicus Manor.
You
completely
sure did.
Picked on. That was some bullshit, by the way. Being kind of just run through there, I think, would be the best example of what we did. I haven't had any head bashing experience. We're like, well, shit, how do we figure this out? It's more like, okay, you do this, and we pew pew. Okay, cool. And then that was it, and we were done. I haven't noticed too many challenges with them. We haven't really had any difficulty. Maybe that's because Dave is so beast. I guess I'm not really sure, but
it's possible.
So, I don't know, and I understand that they're trying to get a lot of people to switch from this mindset of gaming to this mindset of gaming, and if you're stuck in a former mindset of gaming, these dungeons could be really rather difficult for you. So I understand that they are trying to accommodate a whole bunch of people. You're going to have one of two things. You're going to have people complain that they're too easy or that they're too hard. And if they're too hard, no one's ever going to want to do it.
And so that's the one they're going to focus on.
Well, they're going to make it slightly easier until we can at least maybe weed out the bad apples. I don't want to exclusively say WoW players, because I think we've passed that point where we're a month in, we're now Guild Wars players. But we've weeded out the people that don't want this playstyle, and then we can focus more on the people that like the playstyle, they get it, and then we can go from there into harder content.
Well, I think one thing that they did say was that they aren't intending on making them easier so much as they're intending on waiting for players to get used to the playstyle and then see if they're too easy or too hard.
Right, and I completely agree with that.
They were using the stance of, for now, L to play.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the example that was used in one of these articles was when Domain of Anguish was first released.
Yes.
People were just blown away by how difficult it was.
Which, by the way, it's still pretty damn difficult, but it is fun. I've never made it further than, like, two or three rooms in any of those zones. But then I've always gone in with, like, hero groups because, well.
And so there towards the end, it was actually faster to do it with a hero group as a speed clear.
Ah, see? Well, Dave was much more professional at Guild Wars 1 than me.
Than all of us. It's okay. Sorry, yeah. Jared. I'm lumping you in.
I fully accept being lumped in this.
You could almost say I was more professional at it than Jared was, but that's because I've logged a lot more game hours.
Yeah.
I just ran around and I was like, ooh, look what I did. Like the other day, for example, off topic here again, I killed my very own veteran ooze, got my very own chest, and I was like, oh, I did it without Dave. And Dave's like, what? I'm like, this is the first time I found something where you weren't like, here, let's go over here and kill this guy and get his chest. It's the first time I did it on my own. I felt very accomplished. And then I was like, I'm kind of pathetic.
It's like, right, the first time you go to the bathroom by yourself, hey, Mom, I did it.
Pretty similar. You did it. Now. Exactly. So fuck off, all of you. Yeah.
So far as the explorable dungeons go, I did the experimental teleporter path in Crucible of Eternity. And the leader of my group, who I've now stayed in contact with and have actually done it one other time with him, says that the other two paths are so bugged that it's literally impossible to do them. Now, of course, you get this one asshole that's in there in almost every group, oh, I've done it.
Good for you.
It's kind of hard to think that they let an ongoing bug in a dungeon exist like that.
Well, there's quite a few of them, and it's quite a high-level dungeon. But even in the one that we did do, there was a bug. There's a particular boss in the Nightmare section of Crucible of Eternity Experimental Teleporter. And this Nightmare Husk summons Brambles. These big walls of thorns. And the only way you can't attack them with melee. You should be able to, but it says miss and evade when you try and do it. And you can't hit them with ranged normally unless you get beside it. Not long ways, but short ways, and hit it with ranged there. That is the only way it will register damage. Now these things need to be killed very, very, very fast. Because of the mechanics of the fight. I'm not going to ruin it for anyone that actually wants to go in there and see it for themselves. But the fight is so impossibly hard simply because there are bugs keeping you from performing at your best. And a lot of the paths in the exploration mode dungeons, especially the higher ones, are like that.
And the worst part is that they're so focused on the outer world, because that's where most players are, at the moment aren't going to spend too much time worrying about the dungeons.
Well, but they will nerf speed clears, yeah.
But, let me chime in here, I guess. They're also probably getting a lot higher of a volume of bug reports from the outer world than from the dungeons, just based on the larger flux of people that are out just exploring the world and not even concerning themselves with the dungeon content.
I could see that being true.
But they have said that they're monitoring the people in the dungeons, and they're monitoring when their face is getting bashed in. So proportionally, they can see X percent of this dungeon is being reported to have a bug, and it can be applied the same out into the world. So even though there's less people, there's still the same percentage of issues and the same... Their dungeon team needs to be fixing on bugs. Their world event team
Agreed.
Needs to be working on world event bugs.
Agreed. Alright. Anything else, guys? Are we going to call this a topic?
That sounded like pretty good discussion to me.
Well, do want to touch some on the armor for explorable mode dungeons.
Mm, yeah.
A lot of people that are bitching that they're too hard and blah, 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 and I can't do it, they're going in with groups that are still in blues and greens, and even to some extent full yellow, rare gear. It's simply not enough for some of the higher level explorable modes. Explorable is meant to be the challenge in the game. You need to be in exotics. You can be in a couple non-exotic pieces, but the difference in a full rare set and a full exotic set is the difference of being two or three shot or one shot.
And ouch.
Let alone the mechanics and the engine that can insta-frag you. So,
and I will say, too, that a lot of other discussion I've heard about the game, just from not necessarily the Guild Wars 2 crowd, but the just general gaming crowd, they are not... And I think that's where the they're too hard cry is coming from, because a lot of people don't like being insta-fragged.
Well, I mean, that's why... I mean, Melissa's thing is completely different because she was getting focus fired every 2 seconds, but but the instafrag mechanics are all avoidable.
Yeah,
all of them.
Or even if you fail it, sorry, I'm gonna bogart half your point here while you clear your throat some more. Even those instafrag mechanics, if you happen to fail at dodging them once or twice, that's why there's the downstate. It's not like other MMOs where when you die, you die. It's you're downed, yeah. And your party can run over and hurry and pick your ass back up before you get defeated.
Exactly. And, you know, but that's exactly why they put the dodge roll mechanic in, because they wanted to be able to have mechanics in the game that could kill you or severely injure you if you didn't avoid it. It's just adding a layer of complication, and sure, it increases the learn to play, but
it's more rewarding at the end of the day when you fight a boss that can insta-frag your entire group, and you took it down with skill instead of DPS charts.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
All right. Can I put a bow on it and play another bumper?
No, because I'm still kind of angry about the... There is one dungeon that you can speed clear. One. And that's COF going with the scout mag to re-kill Balefire. That is the only, air quotes, speed runnable dungeon that falls under the constraints that they put for that reducing rewards. Reduce the money reward... Fine. Who gives a fuck if someone can speedrun a dungeon to get a full set of cosmetic gear? Where does it? Why is Anet nerfing people's capacity to do that? That does not make sense to me, and that falls into the dungeon.
It's a fair point.
It is, and you know, Dave and I were talking about this earlier, where I laid out what they did, and you know, after talking about it for a little bit, it really doesn't make sense. If there's only one dungeon, well, not even one dungeon path in the whole game that you can complete in under 30 minutes, what's the point? It seems like a pretty severe band on it for one dungeon. I don't know.
Well, obviously they feel that this is something that players are breaking the game by doing this. It was not as they intended. Now, what their reasons are for that, unless they release something, you know, we can always speculate, but we'll never really know. However, all we can tell from this is that obviously it is not something that they want people to be doing with their dungeons, is figuring out ways to speed clear it, to make it It'd go faster.
Profitable. But then in another article that we've had this week, they say that a dungeon should be the fastest way to gain XP, levels, and money. Those are contradictory terms.
But doing it in under 20 minutes, I mean, that's farmable. That falls under the exploit article that we had today.
No.
With the awesome graph.
It doesn't, because in Guild Wars 1 and in early Guild Wars 2, they've said speed clearing is fine. Speed clearing is a group working at the maximum possible efficiency to get something done. That's skill. That's not exploit. That's skill.
Except for that Guardian guy you told us about.
Well, yeah. But that's not speed clearing. I mean, it took him a couple hours to do it.
True.
So,
well, they obviously do have a thing against speed clearing, or they wouldn't be bringing the hammer down on the one speed.
Well, and I don't think it's necessarily a thing against speed clears. I think it's a thing against hammering to death one specific. Agilos makes this point in the chat room that, you know, it's not so much that they don't want you to speed clear, but they want you to work on learning how to speed clear multiple areas.
Yeah, they don't want you to focus on that one easy one. Easy in air quotes there, guys.
Well, no, it is really easy. But just the fixes they made to that dungeon in the last patch add 20 minutes onto the time of doing it.
Does it put it on par with the other paths in the dungeon?
No, the other paths are 2.5 to 4.5 hours long.
Mm. So it's still not comparable.
Yeah.
So people are still going to do it anyway.
Yeah. Because why do 3 hours worth of work when you can get the same thing out of 30, 40 minutes?
Now, is it that it really is 4 hours of content, or is it really that
there's that much shit
to
have
to do it?
No, there's that much shit that you have to do, or it's bugged to impossibility.
Well, then that's not fair at the moment, if it's bugged. I mean.
But majority of COF is unbugged now, because it was the most done dungeon, so it had the most information on what was bugged. But something like Crucible of Eternity, where it took us, everyone in the group had been there except for me, and it still took us 3.5 hours.
Wow.
And that was the, air quote, fastest path.
Hmm.
So.
That is quite the length of time.
Yeah,
though,
I mean,
if you think about it, though, before release, they did say they wanted the explorable modes to take hours.
Yeah, I mean, the explorable modes are the equivalent to Domain of Anguish, Underworld, and Fissure of Woe from Guild Wars 1.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're the sit down for a while and play.
Yeah, they're the here's this big chunk of time where I'm allowed to play a video game. Let me do the same thing. Or at least be in the same area for that whole time. Which is made for some people, and not for others.
Yep.
Are we good, Dave?
See, now, occasionally, good. I would like to sit down and do just that for a couple hours. Not every day, obviously. That'd get tedious, but... You know, and it's not like we wouldn't take short breaks.
Yeah.
In between events. But, I mean, yeah, that sounds perfectly enjoyable to me. Let's all get together, if we all have time, and sit down and
have a hangout session where we don't deal with map chats or any of that.
We just go knock out a dungeon or two.
Exactly.
All right, I've been dying to read these iTunes reviews, so
we'll end the discussion.
Inevitably, we will talk more about dungeons in the future.
Yes. I've been dying to hear them because I didn't want to read them so that if they irritated me, I wouldn't be irritated during the show.
That's fair. We're going to play a bumper, though, first.
Okay.
So we got 2 iTunes reviews in the last 6 weeks. Sorry, friends. I'm bad at iTunes. The first one was from Agilos on August 3rd, I think it was. I should have dated these in the show notes. Left us 5 out of 5 stars. One of the many podcasts I listen to, and I'm so glad that you guys are going back to a weekly show. Very enjoyable, and the jokes are great because they don't cause huge rabbit trails that lead off topic and waste time. And we had a few of those tonight, but
yeah. I think we always have those, Agilos.
They aren't huge rabbit trails. They're like little baby rabbit trails.
They're a nature trail.
Thank you, Agilos. We appreciate your 5 stars and your kind words. Especially considering...
Unlike somebody.
As for this other person, Cisnerinimine. It's always people with these weird consonant-filled names don't like us, I guess. Haven't listened to Lincoln Cast. It's on my list of shows to check out. But then again, maybe not. I don't have 3 hours to listen to a podcast anymore. Like, I listen to Guild Wars 2 Reporter, which is usually a good solid, like, hour, maybe hour and a half. They do a good job. They stay on topic for the most part. And I'll listen to Tales of Tyria unless they've got a 2-hour long show, and then it's like, I'll listen to most of it, and then I'll punch out in the middle sometime. Anyway, back to this,
speaking of topics.
This topic. Cisrenimine left us 1 out of 5 stars. Unprofessional, terrible sound quality, and vulgar, immature hosts equaled not worth subscribing to. I will respond to this in the following ways. We never claimed to be professional. Our sound quality could use some work, but you know what? Sure. We're not getting paid to do this, so we give you the best sound quality we can. And I read a disclaimer at the beginning of, well, depending if you listen. If you listen in podcast land, it's usually about 20, 30 minutes in. But I read a disclaimer at the beginning of the actual show portion of the show that basically says we're going to be vulgar and immature. So you were warned.
I bet he listened to the first, like, 5 episodes where our sound quality was the worst.
Well, except for the review was from, like, 2 weeks ago. It was, like, right around aww, launch. Like, maybe a week or two after launch. Now I'll concede, we're not for everybody. If you want a great-sounding, professional-sounding show, go listen to Tales of Tyria. Bridger runs a pretty tight ship over there. And plus you can listen to their episodes on YouTube and get to see all the video production quality he does, too.
Ooh. I'm just adding sound effects here, I'm sorry.
But we've never claimed to be anything but what we are. A group of 4 friends gathered to talk about Guild Wars 2. That's it. We talk
about Episode 22, we should put on our sir hats and we should drink fine wine and we should pretend. That would be really boring. I'm going to be honest with you.
I'm going to make fun of you, person who is no longer listening to our show.
Although true. I am going to say this. If you can't learn to listen to a disclaimer, get the fuck out.
That's legit.
Seriously.
That's legit.
I will admit that on occasion we are kind of immature, especially with the sex jokes. I mean, I'm
absolutely
just
going to
throw that out there.
In
our
but everyone here
should
laughs.
And it adds to the fun, damn it.
They're funny. Sometimes they're a bit much. And we do not say, hey, we're immature and we think that boobies are funny. Don't have them. They're kind of like old news. I've had them for 25 years. And they don't do anything cool. But
oh, yes, they do.
They
moving on.
Just saying. So I can understand how he'd be completely turned off by this sense of who we are, but that being said, lighten up a little bit.
That's who we are.
Don't get laid, baby. Just
you know,
saying.
Like I said, we're not for everybody. We know that. And as I said in the pre-show, if you were here for that or have listened to that on the podcast.
Or was it watching Grey's Anatomy?
Dozens of people disagree with you. Cisrenny, blah, 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 blah.
That said, you know, that's how we react to every negative review, I will point out. So,
what?
If the person who our very first negative review,
stuff
we bashed him too, so.
We called that person names. However, he also didn't come out and say not worth subscribing to. And now we've talked entirely too long about this. I was looking at just making my point and moving on, and instead, sorry, it says blah blah blah. You got talked about for like 3 minutes.
More importantly, I think they've nerfed the drop rate of Ektos.
Yeah, Jeremy said he's having pretty rotten luck sending stuff.
Yeah, he just sent me 2 exotics, and I had 7 golds, and I mass salvaged and didn't get any Ektos. I used to get at least one.
It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, look how rare Ektos were in Guild Wars 1.
You can contact the show in the following ways. You can call our voicemail at 605-951-05AA. That's 605-951-0522. You can direct download our show and read our show notes on the web at ascendanceofascalon.wordpress.com. Or you can email our show, ascendanceofascalon@gmail.com. Contact the show via Twitter at @AofA_podcast. Or individually, Jared is at Soliatu and Jeremy is at JQ Sage. You can listen to our live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Central Time at twitch.tv/Ascendance of Ascalon. You can also download the show via iTunes or Stitcher. Ascendance of Ascalon is now a member of the GKIC Network. For other great podcasts, blogs, and assorted content, check them out at www.gkic.net. And thank you all for listening. Have a great week.
Sweet. Bye, Podcast Land.
Break here.
See ya.
So, mean that I'm free to leave.
Yes.
Why do you want to leave? Oh, I know. Never mind.
I have to go to houses. I'll be back in like 10 minutes.
I thought you were going to leave us to watch Grey's Anatomy.
I'm letting everyone else know.
But
it makes me just so sad that I need 8 Ektos and I've gotten 0 out of the like 5 exotics I've sent today.
I want to respond to Agilos real quick. I'm pretty sure the show you were on was probably the best behaved we've been in 21 episodes.
I would completely agree.
I mean, the episode that Jesse was on a few weeks ago, when it was just me, her, and Dave, we were like 4 times worse than we were when you were on. So yeah, I don't think it was the episode you were on.
Okay, so while Mail is traveling to wherever she's traveling, I am going to go to either... Nope, definitely going to be Hoelbrecht because it seems to be closer.
First and foremost, are we going to do a dungeon tonight?
I would like to.
I would like to. I think my wife is going to be home late enough that I should be able to. Yeah, so no, there was... I read that review and my initial reaction was like, who the fuck do you think you are? And then I thought about it, like, wait a minute. That's how I reacted to Herga Flurga.
Herga Flurga.
At least Herga Flurga had the decency to stay to see if we
stay
got
and see
better.
If we got better, yeah. But of this person's problems, really only one of them would ever have the possibility of changing. That's the sound. And for that to happen, we would have to spend money on microphones. And
yeah, we would all have to get high-quality headsets.
And we'd all have to get high-quality internet connections so we don't have the DC and all this.
Not to mention sound cards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that does play a part.
Well, I do have a pretty good sound card in my...
I do too.
System.
Yeah, my integrated sound's pretty damn good, too.
If I had a better headset, I could just record everything on stereo mix, and then y'all could hear the bumpers when I play them, but, you know, this is
that
not...
That costs money.
I have a $10 Logitech headset, so I have to use my USB mic, so I sound good. And I haven't...
Yeah.
And I lost my mail-to-mail headphone cable, so I can't hook it into my... thing.
Did you say mail to mail and not mail to mail?
said male.
It sounds like you were saying male as in, like, the accented male that I say.
Yeah, it was
but the male.
Instead of male as in the sex male.
Yeah, I don't. When I have the extra money for it, I'm getting a new headset because this one is a piece of shit and it pulls my hair.
You know, they don't sell the kind of headset that I want. It doesn't exist. And see, I'm going to tell you why it doesn't exist. Because it is the headset you had in keyboard class in middle school that encompassed your entire ear.
Yep.
And plugged into the keyboard. I love those because they don't squeeze my ears to my head. They go around my ears.
You could probably find one online somewhere.
Say, what I would, in a perfect world, what I would like to do is buy like a $100 headset, sell this USB mic for like, and try to get most of my money back. Because then I could speak and you would be able to hear me because I would have independent volume control on my microphone.
Let me clarify. I was being selfish. It had nothing to do with the podcast. I just don't like headsets that touch my ears because my ears are sensitive.
You have supersonic hearing.
Dave does have supersonic hearing. And Agilus, I don't think you ever actually experienced that. I could probably take my face off the internet. We're in the post show. That's much better. Look at the Shatterer.
But he was a lame fight. Put Claw of Jormag up there. Be a real man.
God. I need to get a screenshot of Claw of Jormag. Or
you don't have one. I've got plenty.
Or some art of it, rather. Because that's pretty much what I have here. The Shatterer or Claw of Jormag?
What?
Masking Angelos. Yeah, I fought him, like, the second week the game was out when I was still learning how to make my condition damage build do enough damage in huge meta events to get me credit. He did look cool. I concur with that, and he was
dead. Shatter or Flaw?
Yeah. Shatter. He was dead-ass easy, but not. But they clearly invested some art time on him.
You know who they invested art time on?
Who?
Balefire in Cathedral of Flame.
I'm going to edit the podcast tomorrow. Probably in the time leading. Oh, yeah. I forgot to mention this in the show, but I'm going back on 5 WoW things tomorrow night as well.
Do what now?
Remember the first podcast I was on?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going back.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to talk some more about Guild Wars. Only I know a lot more about Guild Wars now than I did 30 episodes of their show.
Are you actually going to correct the... Are we recording?
Yeah, we're still recording.
Is this going to be in the show?
Probably, maybe.
Does that other person from that previous podcast listen to our show?
I don't know.
Oh. Wow.
I was on the Geek Slap that I was on a couple weeks ago. She was also guesting that week, and I think that's where she got the idea to have me back on their show.
Oh.
Because I dropped some knowledge on there. I've been meaning to actually download that episode and listen to it. Oh, that's my chat window. I'm like, Chrome, well, why no open? Anyway, carry on.
School them in the ways of Guild Wars, because...
Okay. Schooling will happen. I'll try to keep their show below 2 hours, but... How is it? Geekslap.net? Hey, it was.
What?
Episodes... Wow. Come on, Hutch. You're really bad at posting episodes, apparently.
still not up?
I'm gonna check iTunes.
Why are there no high res images of the
Clawjormag? I don't know.
And all the ones that are out there have some asshole standing in front of them, like, hey, look at me, I'm cool. And there is no concept art for them, at least not on the first 5 pages of Google. Any further than that, and I go into the nether.
There it is.
What?
Did you change your fucking website, Hutch? Is that what happened? Or are you just not posting them? Let's find out. No, that's the right website. He's just not posting the... Yeah, I was on episode 17 of Geek Slap, which was like Labor Day weekend. I was also a professional Googler on that show.
Nicely done. Maybe you should put an image of Zaytan up instead.
That's conceivable. I mean,
since he is the primary.
I could also just put the screenshot I have as my desktop right now, which is my Asura standing on a mountain somewhere. Images.
Agilist, have you done Zaytan yet?
There aren't any really any good shots of... Oh, that's because I searched for Shoreman. Jesus Christ, I'm terrible.
Which story mode dungeon are you currently at? Or currently need done, I should say. Okay. Yeah, I haven't done COE story. I've done the explorable for it. What's your tag in game? I'm assuming it's Agile or something, but...
Unfortunately, with all the black borders in that particular screenshot, I can't fill the screen with it, but that's something. It'll do.
Yeah. It works. It looks fine.
Alright.